Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 124, Half Marathon Magic. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Welcome back. Let's talk about half marathons. Half marathons are the most popular race distance. In fact, according to Runner's World, in the past 10 years, the number of participants has doubled. That doesn't surprise me at all. Let's talk about why, because maybe you're thinking about doing your first half marathon, or maybe you're trying to convince somebody else to do one, and a few more reasons wouldn't hurt. Before we get to that, I want to tell you about one of my favorite races. It's in January, so you have plenty of time to put it on your schedule. I do it every year. It's the St. Pete Beach Classic Race Weekend. Why would I tell you, my listeners, who hail from 177 countries, about a local race? Because this weekend of races would make a great vacation for any runner and the perfect destination race for the whole family. There are four races, a 5K, a 10K, a 3.8-mile beach run, and the Matty Zolfo Half Marathon. You can do any single race or both the 5K and 10K, or register for the Classic Individual Marathon, which means you're doing all the races, which just so happens to add up to 26.2 miles. Since there are kids' races as well, there's something for everybody in the family. If you've never been to the paradise that is St. Pete Beach, Florida, you're in for a treat. If you haven't done a half marathon yet, this is the perfect one to start with. No hills, beautiful scenery, and the race hotel is right on a spectacularly beautiful beach. I'll link to the race website in the show notes, of course. The website is stpetebeachclassic.com. When you make plans, be sure and let me know, because I love to meet my listeners. In fact, on that note, I'll mention this. I lead four group runs per week for my local club, Run Tampa. And one of the cool things that happens is that people visiting from out of town often join us. If you Google Running Tampa or Tampa Running, my runtampa.com website comes up first. So that's how people from all over the world tend to find us. Last week, we had Tina, who was in town for a week from Amsterdam. She ran with us on our Tuesday night, at our Tuesday night run. And on Saturday, when we ran in Safety Harbor, we were joined by Carol, a podcast listener in town from West Palm Beach. When you travel, I highly recommend trying to hook up with a local running club. You'll love making new friends. It's certainly safer. You'll know, they'll know, the best places to run, and it's great fun. So a shout out to Carol and Tina. I hope I'll have a whole group of out-of-towners here for the St. Pete Beach Classic weekend. Let me know when you're coming and maybe we can catch coffee or even plan a dinner. That would be great fun. Okay, now let's get back to talking about half marathons. I'm going to give you all the things I love about half marathons, the things that I think make it the perfect race distance. Number one, the training doesn't need to take over your life. Therefore, it's easier on your family and your friends. You know, if you do marathons, that takes a lot of time, and that takes away from the family. But you can train for a half marathon and still have time for the rest of your life. Number two, it doesn't take as many weeks or months of training to be ready. If you're already running a 6-mile long run with reasonable mileage, say 25 miles a week, you can be ready in only 2 months for a half marathon. Number three, it's better for you. While there are plenty of great reasons to do a marathon, a shorter race, such as a half, is much better for your body because it puts less stress on it. More and more research is showing that marathons aren't particularly good for you from a perspective of what it does for your body. Number four, pinning down just the right fueling and hydration isn't nearly as difficult. It's still critical, of course, but you won't get to the point of glycogen depletion that you'll always reach in a full marathon. Number five, not nearly as stressful on the body, which means injury is much less likely. Number six, Better for a destination race because you're more likely to feel like you can do something the day before, some walking around, and certainly you'll feel like you can get out and do some sightseeing either later in the day or the next day if you only do a half marathon. So it can make a huge difference in your ability to get out and enjoy the destination with your family and friends. Number 7, since it's less stressful on the body, you can do them more often. Once a month will be completely reasonable, eventually, if you ease into that frequency. Some people will do one weekend and a half marathon the next weekend. One year, it was 2013, I came up with the challenge of doing 13 halves for 2013. Lots of people did it, and if I wasn't tied up with leading group runs now every weekend, I'd probably still be doing that, at least one a month throughout the year, because I love to do them. Number 8. The weekly long run for a half marathon isn't nearly as long as for a full, which means your whole weekend won't have to revolve around that long run. You could even get in your long run on a weekday, giving you much more flexibility. Number 9, recovery is much faster because it's not so intense. If you are sore, it won't be much and it won't last long. Number 10, while half marathons are expensive, they're usually considerably less expensive than fulls. And if you travel to do one, you're much more likely to feel like you want to stay the night in a hotel and fly out the next day. Whereas if you do a half, you're more likely to be ready to head home a few hours after the race, saving a night's hotel stay. So in other words, what I'm saying is when you do a full, I know, like for me, if I do a full, I'm tired afterwards. I feel worn out. I feel good, but worn out. And I don't want to rush to the airport, jump on a plane, and sit still for a few hours. On the other hand, if I do a half marathon, I feel pretty much 100% normal right after the race. So if it behooves me to get home that day because I've got something pressing at home, I'm much more likely to feel like I can jump on the plane and travel home, and because I just feel exactly perfectly normal after I do a half. Number 11. You can stay in shape year-round. If you maintain mileage of about, I would say, 25 miles a week, and you do a long run of, say, 9 miles once a month, then all you need to do is bump that up a couple of miles 2 weeks before the half race. That might not be ideal training, but it would certainly be adequate if you just enjoy doing halves. If you wanted to stay competitive, I'd say you'd need to do 11 once a month and do 30 miles a week, or average 30 miles a week. And if you're looking to PR, though, then that's a whole different, more expanded topic, so I won't go into that now. But I would train differently if you actually, when you do halves, you want to PR. I will say, though, that if you wanted to have 3 or even 4 macro cycles each year targeting halves, that would work better for you and put much less wear and tear on your body than if you tried to do that with a full. I would not recommend that for a full. All right, things to think about. I think most people try to do a half marathon with too few total miles per week. I would make sure you're averaging 25 miles a week for the last several weeks at least, and preferably 30 for the last month before starting a 2-week taper. Also, make sure you've got a few 10Ks under your belt and give it a minimum of a year of running before you jump to a half. I hear many runners encouraging other runners to do a half after that other runner, the newer runner, hasn't even mastered the 5K or 10K. I'm not saying you need to be super fast at the 5K or 10K, but you need to be feeling very comfortable for the 5K and 10K, like it's not any stress on your body at all. You can do a reasonable time. So I think that just, it doesn't make sense to jump to the half when you've only done one 5K or one 10K. Give yourself some time to adjust to it. But then I highly recommend that you do make that transition to the half. I know another thing I feel like for me, and I don't think I mentioned it, is I just feel like I get my money's worth more than if I just do a half, because a half is over. From the time I get to the race till I'm back in the car going home, might be an hour and a half. So if I'm out there for a couple of hours doing a half, I just feel like, yeah, I it's It's just more satisfying to me, and you may find the same thing to be true. I'm a big proponent also of using the walk-run method, at least as your build-up to doing your first half, and it works well to continue with doing walk-run intervals. You can do it for your whole half-marathon career. You never have to run the whole thing. That said, I don't think anybody should go into any race, particularly under-trained, and just say, and I've heard them do this, well, I'll just do the best I can and I'll walk the rest. That's a bad idea. Hopefully, when you registered, you had enough time to train and good intentions. But if your motivation lagged or life got in the way and your training was severely compromised, then bite the bullet and do the 10K instead or the 5K. Almost always, if there's a half marathon, there's a 10K or a 5K. And I think that's a very smart decision to back off and do the 5K or the 10K if you're not properly trained for the half marathon. Or just let it go until you're properly trained. Here's a rule of thumb. If you'd have to walk more than half, then I say definitely stick to 10Ks until you can comfortably run at least half of the half marathon. And I mean comfortably run it and walk it at a reasonable pace. Say, I would say a 16-minute per mile pace when you're doing the walking portion, maybe 17. But I think that's reasonable. That's a good gauge. This is for many reasons, not the least of, which is that it's a lot of stress on your body to be out there on the course that long, especially if it's hot. And anymore, no matter the time of year or geographic location, sometimes it's hot by mid-morning. Now, here's what I don't like about half marathons. One, the name, half of something. Anything gives the impression that it's lesser than the whole, not as good, somehow inadequate. I really don't like that. Yes, a marathon is more of a challenge. It's certainly more difficult, but that doesn't make doing a half any less. It shouldn't make people feel like when they do a half, they're somehow inadequate. I think a lot of people do a half and always feel like once they get to doing halves, like they have to go and do a full at some point. And I don't like that they feel that way. Now, don't misunderstand me. I actually recommend that people who do halves regularly do at least one full, just because then half seems so much easier. But yet, still, if somebody never wants to do a full, I don't think they should feel like they have to. Half marathons are very much worth doing and being proud of. And if you do halves, what you'll discover is that over the years, you may even do many more miles and many more races. Plus, you'll experience far fewer injuries. So there's a reason I feel like if you do halves, you're just going to get a greater sense of satisfaction. And it will make your life easier. That's it. If you do want to do a half and you haven't, then I think you should. But be warned, you're likely to fall in love with that distance. The good news is there are so many options for halves. I can remember when there was only one or two halves a year in the whole Tampa Bay area. Now, when I look at this whole area, there's probably 50. So, maybe that's an exaggeration, maybe 30, but still, tremendous number. So you could pick halves to do on a regular basis year round, and that's great to be able to do that. Now, of course, I have a quote for you, but first, if you're on Instagram, I hope you'll follow me at RunTampa. I'm on Twitter at that address as well. Follow me and please comment that you're a podcast listener. And if you're ever in the Tampa Bay area, remember Run Tampa has 4 group runs each week. If you go to runtampa.com, they're all listed there. Go to when you get to runtampa.com, click on group runs. And you can also see a great slideshow there of my club's adventures, as well as the only comprehensive running calendar for the whole Tampa Bay area. The calendar at runtampa.com has over 100 races listed. No other calendar is that complete, and that's because I don't charge race directors. I do it as a service to list their race. Remember, please follow me on Instagram. Now, about today's quotes, I have several. As I record this podcast, it's Thanksgiving week, and I'm missing my dad. He was such a big part of course, all the family meals when I was growing up, sitting at the head of the table. When I'm surrounded by my family on Thanksgiving Day, I'm grateful for them, but I'll always be thinking of him and my brother and my sister, who are also no longer with us. When I think of dad, I think of a great heart and an unshakable integrity. An ethical code that guided his every action. We need more beacons like him. His name was Milton Bedingfield, by the way. Today, my quotes honor him. Of all that he taught me, it is integrity that I value most. So here are the quotes. If you don't have integrity, you have nothing. If you have it, you have all you need. Do what's right, not what's easy. Integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. You never look good trying to make someone else look bad. And here's the last one. Wisdom is knowing the right path to take. Integrity is taking it. Happy Thanksgiving.